Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow our hearts before you. To worship you and to thank you, Father, for the awesome reality of the tree of life being open to us in a living witness. A functional reality, a functional totality that unveils to us in Christ Jesus. The functional totality of the fullness of Christ Jesus manifested in us as a tree of life, Father. And we are a people, O God, who can rise, O God, to the heights, O God, that you have ordained, O God, in each one of our lives. By all that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, that as you continue to manifest your word, that you will bring renewal and regeneration into our hearts, that we may be healed and we will also rise, O God, into the newness of life that you have for us. That we will rise, O God, to receive and realize all that you have given us in the voice of your word. All that you have given us in the witness and testimony of Jesus. All that you have given us, O God, by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. All that you mean to unveil to us, O God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Come heal us, O God. Send forth your word and heal us. Send forth your word and deliver us. Send forth your word, O God, and purify us. Send forth your word and make us, O God, spotless, blameless, without blemish, O God, without wrinkle, O God, that we may be holy and blameless before you, that we may become the people you want us to be, Father. Remove from us, O God, every impediment of our fleshly ways. Remove from us every impediment of the wrong spirit, Father. Remove from us every impediment, O God, of poisoned waters, O God. And let the waters of life flow into us, O God. Let the waters of life, O God, spring up in us, O God, in wells of living water, Father. And let the waters of life flow out of us, O God, as rivers of living water. That we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, will become, O God, that life-giving river, O God, that you want to bring us forth as, O God. That we will flow, O God, with the wonders, O God, of who you are and all that you are, unveiled in us by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. That we will give expression, O God, to the I am of who you are and all that you are, so that we will truly declare that our God is life, that our God, O God, is the healer, that in him, O God, we live, move, and have our being. So, Father God, let all things within us be unveiled, O God, in this tree of life, Father, that we may be the people you want us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 15. From verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. For I, the Lord, am your healer, Yahweh Rophe. If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God." If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God. Earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God will result in doing what is right in his sight and giving ear to his commandments and keeping all his statutes. Now all this is brought to us in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. All this is brought to us in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And one of the series we'll be doing in this Bible school is to look at the details of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But today what we are going to say is that in the nature and character of Jesus, in the mind of Christ, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in all that is manifested in his spirit, in wisdom, knowledge, understanding, in power, in strength, in counsel, in truth, in the fear of the Lord, in faith, in love, in grace, we are being enabled to give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord our God and be able to function in him all the time. This ability to hear and function is the state that is called a healed state. Our healed state is the ability in which we are able to live, move, and have our being in our God. Today there are many things that keep us away from God. Some of them are there in our own free will because we want those things to be there. Some of them are there in so many ways that we do not know how they affect us. But whatever it is, we need to understand that it is the intent of the Lord our God to bring us into a newness of life. And what this meditation on the name of God, Yahweh Rophe, is telling us is that God means to unveil His witness as a tree of life within us. As that witness grows, the healing that we realize grows. The changes that we realize in God grow. So all this has to come out of the witness. So one of the very essential purposes of the witness is to bring healing to us. And healing is brought to us through the Rhema word. Through the Rhema word. Alright, through the Rhema word. Today I just want to look at a few passages of scripture that talk about the Rhema word, okay? We're going to look at it from the book of Isaiah. I'm just going to take certain passages of scripture. This is not the complete word of God, but these are passages of scripture that tell us that through the waters of the word, God brings us into something new. It just tells us that the whole process of healing that is tied to our character, our nature, to the flaws of our character and nature, to the flaws of our thinking, to the wounds that inflict us, are all going to be healed through the waters of the Word. So it's chapter 55 of Isaiah. Chapter 55 of Isaiah. Verse 1 onwards. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Right? The waters of life. The witness of God. The Rhema of God. The living word. The word that is brought to you by the Holy Spirit. The word that comes to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. The word that opens to you in the testimony of Jesus. The word that is explained to you in the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. Right? The milk of the word, wine represents new life. Without money and without price. Right? Without money and without price. This is a reality open to you by grace. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. He says, eat what is good, right? Eat what is good. I just want to cross-reference here to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. Verse 16. And here the prophet writes, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know that a merry heart, right? A joyful heart is like a medicine, right? You remember that verse that we picked up from the book of Proverbs, just as cross-reference to that. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine. Alright? What is the prophet saying? That a merry heart comes out of eating the Word of God. Eating the realities that are in the Word of God, realizing the realities that are in the Word of God, and it will become inside of you a joy. Right? And a joyful heart is a heart that is realizing the healing of God. Right? The healing of God. A merry heart does good like medicine. All right? A merry heart does good like a medicine. Praise the Lord. So let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear and your soul shall live. You see, hear and your soul shall live. Healing is about living. Healing results in a new life. Healing results in a higher quality of life. Healing results in an ability to live that life in a new plane. And so the Lord says, incline your ear and come to me. So God says, if you give, right? You remember Exodus chapter 15, right? God says, if you give heed to my voice, right? And that's the beginning of everything, right? And when he says, give heed to my voice, it is the word that is brought to you by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now when you speak in tongues, you can energize the word of God that you are reading. And you can transform it, right? You can realize the voice of God through the aid of tongues, right? You can realize it in terms of the mystery, and you will find that it results in a witness inside of you. You can be taught through that witness. I have written books that on subjects I have never known through praying in tongues. I have written books, received revelations on things nobody has taught me, right? I received them from the Lord. And through the word of God, God began to explain what his thoughts were. Now all of us can receive and realize in this reality. All right? So he says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Right? So you realize that you have a root inside of you, and that root is being built. And it's called the root of David. And the intent of the root of David is so that God can release the mercies of David into your heart. What are the mercies of David? All of the promises that God swore in the life of David. If you read through the Psalms, if you read through the books of Samuel, you will find that God swore an oath with David. That he will establish his sons on his throne as an everlasting royalty, right? A royal priesthood, actually. One particular passage of scripture that we have read before, let's read that again. Psalm 132. Psalm 132. From verse 6. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. You know that Bethlehem is called Bethlehem Ephrathah, right? Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephrathah means fruitful. So he says, behold, we have heard of it in fruitfulness, right? He's talking about something, right? Here he is foreshadowing, right? Here he is, here the psalmist is foreshadowing what God will announce through the prophet Micah. Right, that in Bethlehem Ephrathah there will come forth one whose goings forth are from eternity, and he will become a blessing. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. All of us are sitting here as the fruit of the body of Christ. We are all members of the body of Christ. So you need to understand that this is what the Lord is talking about, the mercies of David. Now David didn't deserve to receive such a covenant, but in the merits of Jesus Christ, because Jesus would come and fulfill the position of David, the one who truly had a heart for God, the one who truly thirsted for God. David foreshadowed that in some measure, but Jesus Christ manifested the reality of the true David in the entirety of his life. Right? So he gave his life entirely. Right? In the reality of loving the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind and strength, and loving his neighbor as himself. That is the fulfillment of the law. So the mercies of David are the mercies that come in the Lord Jesus Christ in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And suddenly all of the promises of God are available to us. All right? So he says, the Lord, verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, which is what the witness is all about. The witness inside of you is meant to unveil as a covenant testimony. Right? The covenant is to be written, right? As the testimony of Jesus is unveiled in your life. So as you realize the word of God explained to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, explained to you in the faith and love of Jesus, it becomes a living witness inside of you in which you can live, move, and have your being and function in the Lord your God in everything that you do. And so he says, if your sons, verse 12, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. Right? There is no human throne that can stand forevermore. But the throne that God has given us in Jesus Christ stands forevermore. And this is what we celebrate in Passover. The 12 apostles sat with him and they partook of the Passover. What were they partaking of? They were partaking of the mercies given to David, because Jesus was going to fulfill the reality of the true David. Right? And by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all being given positions to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And all this is meant to be functionally defined in the witness that is within us. So this process of healing that God is bringing into us is meant to enable us to function in this reality. Right? So it opens to us in a revelation of Jesus Christ. So this witness inside of us is, I am the life, that Jesus Christ is the life. And that's a reality that God is opening inside of us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that we will be able to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way in which God is going to do this inside of us is to bring forth a calling in our lives, the calling of Jesus Christ in our lives, a calling that will be in accordance with the revelation of Jesus that God is manifesting in each one of us. Now, in that revelation of Jesus Christ, we are each being made epistles of Christ. Right? In the revelation of Christ Jesus within us, right? We are realizing a reality in which Christ is being formed in us. Right? And in that reality, God is bringing forth in us a new creation. You are being created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God. Ephesians 2:10. So that you will walk into the works of God, the good works. Now in Proverbs we read that righteousness, the fruits of righteousness, is a tree of life. Let's look at that again. Proverbs. Proverbs. Chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Right? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Amen. So what are we discovering, right? Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God ordained beforehand. And all this is being manifested in us, right? From the witness within us. We learn how to function in that witness, we manifest the righteousness of God. And we are being developed, right? Step by step, through the calling that God has for us. Right? So if you're a prayer warrior, learn how to pray through the witness and learn how to pray in the witness of the voice of the word. Learn how to pray the righteousness of God, and God will manifest his righteousness through your prayer. And you will see answers to that prayer, and God in that process will develop the witness inside of you so that you will realize that particular aspect of the testimony of Jesus that is meant to be revealed in you. And all this is part and parcel of the realization of the mercies of David. The mercies of David. All right? Give ear to the word of God. Right? Now, to enter into all this, you need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You need to be Spirit-led. Because these things are not going to happen from the intellect of man. All right. Okay? Why do I say that? Because the whole process of hearing the Word of God is a process of washing in renewal and regeneration. You find that in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Where God brings into us through the Rhema word a washing. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. That through the Rhema word He washes you and makes you spotless and blameless. Titus 3:5 says that that process of washing is undertaken by the Holy Spirit, and it's a process of renewal and regeneration. So when God talks about healing, He's talking about healing as a creative process, as He makes you the fruit of the body of Christ. All right? See, through the Rhema word, God is manifesting inside of you the substance that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is a creative work. It's a work that is undertaken by the living God. But it comes through His voice, the witness that He is bearing to you. It is something you can tune into or you can tune out of. It is something you realize in your own free will. You have to respond to God. All right? You have to respond to God. Now, this is why Proverbs again, let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Right? Hope is the very fundamental point at which you respond to God. Right? Without hope, nothing else will happen. Because from hope comes faith. From faith comes righteousness. From righteousness comes the intimacy of loving Him. And from loving Him comes the intimacy of being holy unto God. So hope, and so He says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, when the desire in hope comes, it is a tree of life. Can you catch that? It is a tree of life. Amen? It is a tree of life. So your response to God, right? Enables you to participate in the unveiling of the tree of life. Alright? Now the tree of life is a sovereign work of God. It's a sovereign work of God within you. But you need to respond to God. Right? Right? And you respond to God by giving heed to His witness. Right? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. A true witness delivers souls. Right? A true witness delivers souls. Alright? Now your soul and my soul have been afflicted by wounds. Have been afflicted by sicknesses. That's why we have flawed characters. Right? That's why we have flawed emotions. That's why we have a flawed will. That's why we have flawed personalities. That's why we have a flawed thinking process, because all that is part of our soul. And God has to bring healing through that witness of His word into us to bring that healing process inside of us. So you remember the very basics of the teachings that we started off on how to be taught by God. And it said that you have to hear the word of God and understand it. You have to hear the word of God and accept it. You have to hear the word of God, understand it, accept it, and hold it fast in a good and honest heart and persevere with it through your life. Amen? And in that process, what is God doing? He's building the witness of God inside of you. So the moment you were born again, you gave heed to the word of God. and the seed of Christ, the seed of the word, was planted inside of you, and you were born again. When you were born again, a witness was opened inside of you, and the healing process began. Hope came into your heart. You suddenly realized there was a future for you. Right? There was something beyond, right? The decay of this world. We are no longer fated. We have promise, right? There is a new reality that God brings inside of us. And that's real. And that new reality is the witness. Now God wants to develop that witness, not just that you will be alive to God, but you will be able to function in God. So the healing process results in you and me being able to function in God. And all this is part of the mercies of God. Mercies of David. Right? Blessed are the merciful, for they will find mercy, right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? Jesus said these words on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. All that is part and parcel of the manifestation of the healing processes of the word that God wants to establish inside of us and then through us. Communicate it through us. And this is when you begin to realize you have a purpose. That's why there is nothing that can satisfy you like ministry. Right? There is nothing that the careers of man can give you in terms of fulfillment like the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is why Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4 tells you, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Right? Because ultimately, this tree of life depends on how you are able to release it. Right? So this witness inside of you, right, has to be developed as you speak the word of God. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 14 and 15, God says, right, the word is in your mouth and in your heart. See, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. You choose what you want to live by. It's very important for you to understand that. So God is telling you through Isaiah 55, here, come to the waters, hear my voice. Let me bring into you the mercies of David, right? The mercies of David. All those blessings that I mean to fulfill through this prophetic name called David, you will find that all of the prophecy in the Bible is ultimately tied to this name that is prophetically addressed as David. That while God gave the promises to Abraham that he will bless all the nations, the ultimate fulfillment of that reality comes through this name called David. Which is why Revelation 22 verse 16 calls Jesus Christ the root of David, the offspring of David. And Revelation chapter 3 verse 7 says that Jesus gives us the key of David. Because the key of David is what unlocks all of the promises and blessings of God on an abiding basis. Now for the reality of you and me entering into this prophetic wonder of all that is contained in the name David, we have to come to love Jesus Christ. We have to come to love Jesus Christ. That's why the root of David ultimately means the root of his love. It means that our witness has been rooted in his love. And that is the strength of our position as the offspring of David. Right? The offspring of his body. Okay? You need to really understand that. All right, praise the Lord. So let's go back to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Now, who is the David he's talking about here? He's not talking about King David here. Right? Now this is being written 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the earth. But he's not talking about David here. He's talking about Jesus. Right? I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Amen. Now how has he glorified you? He has glorified you through his witness. Because in John chapter 17 verse 22, Jesus tells the Father in his prayer before he goes to the cross, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Alright? The glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. So it says here, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Now who is the Holy One of Israel? Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what is understanding? Knowing the Holy One, right? Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. What is wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now if you read in context from verse 1 to verse 17, you will find that the Lord is speaking through Solomon, and he's talking about two realities, wisdom and understanding. And he's saying, wisdom and understanding are a tree of life. Are you with me? Now, what is wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Begins with the fear of the Lord. It is the application. Understanding is knowing the Holy One. Without the understanding, the wisdom won't come. So in this witness that God is opening inside of you, what is he doing? Is giving you an understanding based on the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that you will be able to function in the wisdom that will give expression to him. And it is a tree of life inside of you. Can you see that? So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand. Now what is faith? The substance of hope. Now if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith, right? The substance that becomes your faith is of the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? And the evidence that you carry, right, will be of the Lord Jesus alive in you in his fullness, right? So all that unveils in a witness inside of you. And it's a functional witness. What is God developing inside of us? An ability to live and function in the name of Jesus. Now why is he doing that? For the simple reason that anything in the name of Jesus will be given. Anything in the name of Jesus will be done. Correct? So all this witness inside of you is a witness of Jesus alive inside of you. I in them. That's what he prayed for as the last three words in John chapter 17 verse 26. Right? I in them. Let's turn to that. John 17 verse 26. I'll read verse 26. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them. Through how is that love going to be inside of you? Right? In the reality of the witness, isn't it? Do you realize that that love is an expression of David? David means the well-beloved, isn't it? So your witness is formed in the root of David, and your witness unveils you as the offspring of David. What does that mean? That is a living expression of the love of God for you, and it's made manifest inside of you. And he ends this verse by saying, and I in them. Are you with me? I in them. So I in them is what is the tree of life ultimately. Right? Praise the Lord. And that's what brings healing into your life. It is the witness and testimony of Jesus that is going to heal the poisoned waters. Okay. So when God says hear my voice. He's talking about you hearing the word of God through the witness and testimony of Jesus. Because the witness and testimony of Jesus explains the word of God to you in his faith and his love for you, in his spirit and his life. And it brings into you a newness that you cannot find out on your own. It can only come through Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And all this is going to be established inside of you and me as a functional reality. That's what God is leading us into. Because if Jesus does not become to us functionally as the way, the truth, and the life, we will keep on falling into sin. Right? We will keep on going up, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Right? The only way you can break out of this cycle of mediocrity that the world is full of is to realize Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. It has to be opened inside of you by the Holy Spirit in a living witness in which you live, move, and have your being in the name of Jesus. Right? Okay? So when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the real reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to enable you to function in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And only the Holy Spirit can enable you to do that. That's why Jesus said in John 16 verse 14, the Holy Spirit, right? He will manifest what is of me, right? He will bring to you what is of me, and he will bring it to you, and he will explain it to you, right? I'm paraphrasing, but that's the intent of it all, right? So you need to understand that. Okay, praise the Lord. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Don't let this witness inside of you die. Don't treat it as if it was something that came to you easily. Jesus paid a price to make you alive to God. Being born again is so crucial. We have not appreciated it. And when we try and live by the letter of the word, we'd kill the witness inside of us. Or rather, it gets subdued. It gets subdued in all of our intellect. And after some time, you find that it's very hard to hear God. And the reason is very simple. Because we have brought things into us that are of the righteousness of man. We have brought things into us that are a contradiction to the witness of God. And the moment you start doing that, You start subduing the witness that God opened to you sovereignly. Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Right? Look at the words, right? And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Right? Receive the thoughts of God and do not live by your own thoughts. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And this is why it is so important for you to function through the witness, because the only way you can realize the thoughts of God is through that witness. And you must understand it is not of your intellect. That's one of the reasons why the prophet Isaiah announced that you will speak in a foreign tongue. And through that foreign tongue, God will teach us his word. Right? Isaiah chapter 28 from verses 9 to 11. Right? To whom will he give the message? To whom will he teach knowledge? To those just weaned from milk? Right? Behold, he will speak to this people line upon line, precept upon precept. Right? He will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Here's a Jewish prophet speaking in a Jewish testament of foreign tongues. Right? That God will speak to his people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Now we may not appreciate it, but to the Jew, his language was the supreme language. And yeah, there is this foreign prophet, there is this Jewish prophet writing things that God will bring man to that rest by which he will lay the word into man, line upon line, precept upon precept. And in that process, he will give him knowledge and he will explain the spontaneous message to him. Right? And it's all part of this astonishing realization of what God calls the truth. His thoughts. Right? So he says in Exodus chapter 15, right? He says, if you can give heed to my voice and do what I tell you, obey my statutes. Right? And you will find that in our own natural selves, we cannot give heed to God very long. Neither can we obey him very well either. So God has to bring forth that whole process, right, of enabling us to hear, enabling us to obey, and enabling us to be able to do what is right. And that whole process is the work of God. It is a creative process, and it is a manifestation of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It is the work of God in our lives. But we have to respond. We have to respond by hearing, by understanding, by accepting, by holding fast to God's word in our heart, in a good and honest heart, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, and persevering with that word in our lives. And if you respond to God like that, he will come in the power of his word and he will create you. He will create your heart as a clean heart. Amen. He will create your heart as a clean heart. And the Lord your God will bless you in abundance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, and it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And this is what you must understand. This is what is the power of God. He is watching over his word to perform it. Remember that? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He is watching over his word to perform it. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. What did Jesus tell the devil? In Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's where this is all coming in. Right? So God says, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. That's very key. That you understand that this whole reality of the witness is to accomplish what God pleases and not what we please. It has to accomplish what God wants and not what we want. Many of us are not growing in the Lord because we want God to do what we want him to do. And that's putting the cart before the horse. That's why the Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will come. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is open to you in a witness. In a witness given to you through the cross, in blood, water, and spirit. It is a witness that is going to be developed in the faith and love and character and nature of Jesus Christ. It is a witness that is going to manifest the spirit and life of Jesus. It is a witness that is going to unveil the witness and testimony of Jesus. It is going to enable you to become sons of God, a royal priesthood of kings and prophets. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs. Chapter 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Who is the king's heart that he's talking about? In Christ Jesus, we are all called to be kings. We are a royal priesthood. And this is what God wants, that the heart from where this witness rises, that heart will be in the hands of the Lord, so that he can direct it like rivers of water, wherever he wishes. And where the river goes, it will bring life. Right? Ezekiel 47 prophesies that, right? That river of life that rises from beneath the altars of God will go forth, and it will become a huge river. And wherever the river goes, it will bring life. And so that river of life is what God wants to direct, right? The king's heart, Proverbs 21 verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. And so God wants us to be kings. And so we must have a heart that stands before God, right? Let's look at Proverbs again, and you will find some amazing verses that talk about this waters of life, right, coming forth, all right? Chapter 18, for instance. Chapter 18, verse 4. No, rather, chapter 20. Verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. What is a man of understanding? A man who knows the Lord his God. Right? And he will draw it out. Okay? He will draw it out. Okay. Let's look at chapter 18 verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, right? That means they're deep waters, like deep calling deep, all right? Deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook, right? It's a flowing brook, okay? So Jesus comes and he says, if you take a drink from me, it will become wells of living water inside of you. Right? And when the Holy Spirit comes, he said in John chapter 7, he said those wells of living water will be released through you as rivers of living water. Because the flow through those wells represent the Word. The realities that are sunk inside of you with understanding that become functioning wells. And out of those wells can flow rivers of living water. And you can touch nations through that. So the healing process is ultimately meant to flow out of us. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Before we do that, chapter 16 of Proverbs verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Right? Wellspring, right? It's like a fountain of water coming alive inside of you. Right? It is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. See, God calls himself the fountain of living waters. And so you realize it is the reality of him that makes these wells flow. And they flow from him, through you, and out of you. Amen? All right, now let's turn to Proverbs. Chapter 4. From verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, right? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That's what the King James Bible. Let me show you what the New American Standard brings out. It translates it as Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Right? For from it flow the springs of life. So that's what God is talking about. Let us look at another passage in the book of Isaiah. All right? Let's look at another passage. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Right? They do not fail, notwithstanding what happens around you. The wells of living water inside of you cannot fail as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord. Verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. What is he saying? You will bring healing. You will restore. Praise the Lord. Verse 14, this is what it means to be healed. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Praise the Lord. Right? What do these high hills represent? Let's turn to Genesis. Let's read from verse 22, chapter 49. Genesis 49, verse 22. Let's talk about Joseph. Joseph represents a fruitful son. The Hebrew word for bow there is son, literal meaning. So Joseph is a fruitful bow, or rather Joseph is a fruitful son. A fruitful son by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands was made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. That's what he's talking. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him of who was separate from his brothers. To the heritage of the hills. High places. High places. Now what do high places mean? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 28 to look at Lucifer. He was open to the high places that God gave him. Let's just understand where God is taking us to, because we are morning stars and he was once called the star of the morning. So Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So there is a place that God has which are called a place of fiery stones in the holy mountain of God. And that's where God is taking us. Praise the Lord. So in all of the names of God, God is opening to us sanctuaries in those names. Look at verse 18. The judgment on Lucifer was because of this. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Right? He had sanctuaries. God opened to him sanctuaries, realities in his name. And so each one of us has got realities of sanctuaries being opened to us in the names of God. So please understand that that's what this whole revelation is building to. This unveiling of the name of God is to build the sanctuary of God, or the sanctuaries of God, so that you will be blessed and become a blessing. None of us deserves it, but Jesus Christ purchased it for us in his merits. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, Luke chapter 22 verse 14, what does it say? He and his apostles were seated, right? So we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and that is going to be realized through a Passover. Now you must understand that the ultimate reality of that Passover is fulfilled in what is called the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now tabernacles are sanctuaries of God. So the Passover ultimately becomes fulfilled in the Feast of the Tabernacles. And we are all tabernacles in the making. And there are many sanctuaries or realities of God that God wants to unveil to our lives. So this healing process is so necessary for us to realize these high positions. Praise the Lord. So as God builds the witness inside of us, don't think that because you can't experience big things today, that God is not doing a work. He's doing a great work. He's building the foundations. He's building the root of David. He's bringing out the offspring of David. He's beginning to manifest the key of David. And the intent of the key of David is to unlock the I am of God. That's why Jesus said, I am the door. So the key of David is meant to unlock the reality of I am the door, so that you can go in and out and find pasture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that your healing process in us is a creative process, a process of renewal and regeneration that is then evidenced in a growing witness that is actually an expression, Father, of the tree of life that is growing within us. The tree of life that was planted inside of us in the seed of Christ. The tree of life that is growing in us in the unveiling of the root of David, and in the unveiling of each one of us as the offspring of David. And in each one of our hearts, there is an intimacy that is being built. And in that intimacy, you are attempting to give us, O God, the key of David, the keys to the promises and blessings of the living God. So enable us to pay heed to what you are bringing forth in us. That what you are doing inside of us is not a small thing, Father. It is a great work. It is an awesome work. It is a tremendous revelation, O God. A revelation not for the intellect, Father, but the revelation that is to be manifested in each one of us becoming living and growing epistles of Christ. So we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your abundance. We declare that you are our God, that in your mercy and your grace, in the mercies of David, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that it is your intent that we will walk before you and be holy and blameless before you. So manifest in each one of us a revelation of Jesus Christ, and let that revelation mature into a growing witness within us, so that in that calling that will unveil in this revelation, we will walk into the treasures of your heart and unveil the riches of your heart and be a blessing to the universe in which, O God, you have called us to be reigning kings, Father, a royal priesthood, a prophetic people who will release your word and there will be life. So we bless you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.